We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
What's up, y'all? It's Drewski, and I've teamed up with Mountain Dew to produce a hilarious new basketball podcast called The Dew Zone with Drewski. Learn the backstories of your favorite ballers and celebrities like Jamal Murray.
Did you have like a favorite team? Was it the Raptors at the time or no? Was the Raptors even started around that time?
Come on, bro.
I ain't that old, fam. You're talking like I'm 50.
Taylor Rooks, Asia Wilson, and many more. You won't want to miss this. Listen to The Dew Zone with Drewski on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you listen to podcasts.
Welcome to the Light Years Podcast, game day, the most anticipated play-in matchup in history. Granted, the play-in has gone for all of 2 years now, but I just can't imagine any play-in matchup meeting Warriors versus Lakers, LeBron versus Steph, and just kind of all the various storylines we have around this game anytime in the near future. For that, I'm bringing on special guest, host of the Laker Film Room, Pete Zayas. Pete, how you doing?
I'm good, man. Thanks for having me on. Nice to finally do this after all these years.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like, everyone was joking about the Warriors and Lakers meeting in the play-in a month ago, and I'm like, that's not going to happen. Then here we are now, right? It's got to be the NBA's dream.
Yeah, that's right.
So with that saying, I wanted to kind of give our listeners kind of a look kind of how the other side sees this matchup. You know, you've heard me and Andy and me and various Warriors people talk about from Warriors' perspective all year. I'd love to hear kind of what Laker fans and Laker pundits and everyone think about this matchup and just kind of get some insight here. Hopefully gets everyone kind of thinking differently before the game starts. So with that, we're going to do kind of three questions here, and I'm going to start with this one with you, Pete. So how do you anticipate the Lakers guarding Steph Curry?
I think when Drummond's in the game, it's very likely that we blitz, which is probably the most fun matchup on the court between the two teams, because it's a strength versus strength thing, right? You guys, people have been blitzing Steph for years now, and Draymond in a 4-on-3 is off the short roll is, you know, they've been doing that for years. It's also something the Lakers are very good at blitzing. Right. Drummond in particular is interesting in that I don't think he's going to play a ton in this game, but I do think he's going to start both the first and third quarters, and his strength. So he can be very, I would expect Golden State to exploit him or look to exploit him as much as possible. Right. But whenever he can blitz off of a catch hedge or off of a ball screen, that's something he's actually very good at. He's good at applying pressure on the ball. He's got quick hands, very mobile for a guy his size. Where the Lakers will be in trouble is if he's having to switch on to Steph or make reads. And so I think that we'll have KCP locking and trailing on Steph and chasing him over the top of screens, showing high with Drummond. And then the trump card, so to speak, is Anthony Davis's ability to rotate and cover two on the weak side. He's great at tagging the roll man or covering that. And then if you throw that skip pass, he's going to get out to that shooter.
That makes sense. Do you have any worries about AD's health? Like the last week or so, he looks, to my eye, from what I've seen, he looks all the way back. But
I feel so much better than I did like 10 days ago. Even the beginning of this season, Draymond even spoke to this. He wasn't in good shape. AD right. was basically just shooting jump shots and not putting any pressure on the rim. Over the last week to 10 days, he started to look like, oh yeah, that's the Anthony Davis I remember. So I feel better about him and better about LeBron than I did, again, about a week ago.
Nice. Yeah. So I kind of thought the same thing. The Lakers are going to probably have like start with KCP hounding Steph most of the time. And in some ways, similar to what Memphis did on Sunday, the main difference I'm seeing is A, I think the Laker guards are better at pressuring the ball than Dylan Brooks mm-hmm. is. And B, you have at least three players who can do it, whereas Memphis was just doing it with Dylan Brooks. And as you saw, one player guarding Steph for that long eventually gets worn down.
And that's what ends up with like 22 three-point attempts. Yeah, that's one thing that we really pride ourselves on is limiting three-point attempts. I saw you tweet out that you guys have shot, what, like 42 a game over the last 20 games or whatever stretch it's been. And so our bigs being mobile helps in that whole equation with the guards being able to pressure. And like a Valanciunas, Drummond, AD, all those guys can pressure on out on the perimeter.
Nice. Okay.
So my question for you is there's been – whenever I'd watch a Golden State game over the course of this year, when Steph would go out of the game, especially those early second quarter units, I'd be like, yo, you guys just got to survive these minutes. I know Jordan Poole's come around. What has been the progress on that front where you guys are at least can stay alive during those periods of time and buy yourself time until Steph comes back?
I mean, it's still a roller coaster. I'm not going to lie about that. The Warriors are playing an 8-man rotation. I don't anticipate them using Eric Paschal or Jordan Bell, who, you know, essentially Paschal came back from being out for 2 months to the second last game of the season. And Jordan Bell was, you know, just signed off waivers like 3 days ago. So I would say those guys are only coming in the game if, you know, someone's in foul trouble and they need to buy a couple minutes. So with that said, the 8-man rotation has been just one way to limit kind of some of the awful lineups we're seeing earlier in the season, like the Brad Wanamakers, the Nico Mannion. They still have trouble generating any sort of offense, but they've kind of locked into this identity of, yes, we're undersized, but we can create havoc on defense. We can force turnovers. So it's true when Steph's on the floor. It's obviously they're more dangerous when Steph is on the floor for every obvious reason imaginable. But either way, they're going to try to force turnovers and get into transition because they have almost no chance at generating half-court offense without Steph. Like without Steph on the floor, it's basically just going to be a high ball screen for Wiggins or Jordan Poole, and you kind of live with the results.
Along those lines, turnovers as a Laker fan, easily my biggest concern in this game. We've been sloppy. A big part of that is LeBron is the guy that generally runs that. And he's usually on the court at the beginning of those second quarters when your second unit will be on the floor. And we take care of the ball much better when LeBron is on the floor. So, right. But there's such a discrepancy in the continuity that you guys have versus this last, pretty much since AD went down, we've just been trying to survive. And then the last month or two, we've really powered down and just let's get everybody healthy for the playoffs. So we have no continuity. We have very little in the way of cohesion. That's my biggest concern is that you guys will be able to exploit the lack of familiarity between players that we have.
I should mention, and I forgot to throw this in there, the Warriors aren't staggering Steph and Draymond, but there's a little bit of a slight stagger so that the period just less minutes without at least one of them on the court. And I would expect both players to play 40 plus minutes on Wednesday, particularly if it's close. I think the Warriors are just going to try to chase it as much as possible if they're in the game. It'll be one of those things where, if the Lakers get up 20 around halftime, I could see Steve Kerr kind of pulling the dogs out, being like, I want to rest you guys for Friday because I want you to be healthy there.
Yeah.
But if it's close, they're going to chase it. You're going to see late playoff types of minutes from these guys because it's not like they're trying to pace their bodies for the finals. This team probably isn't going to go that deep in the playoffs. They have a chance to pull an upset or two here or there down the road. So I would expect more urgency. On Sunday, we saw Steph and Draymond play 40 minutes, which I can't remember the last time I've seen them do that in a regular season game. Granted, it was kind of a semi-playoff game. So one way the Warriors could counter that is just even limiting the rotation more. So you might only get 2 minutes at the beginning of the second quarter before Draymond checks in. They don't have many other options, really. Let's be
honest. Does that organize you guys basically, like in those non-stiff minutes?
I mean, the defensive plus minuses when Draymond's on the floor and off the floor are almost as extreme as the offensive difference when Steph is on the floor and off the floor. You know, he's one of the best defensive communicators, one of the best help side defenders you'll see. He's also probably the steadiest ball handler on the team.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
They run a lot of the same actions they run with Steph and Draymond, with Jordan Poole and Draymond. Not as good, obviously, because no one's Steph Curry, but it still works on some level. So I would expect some of that. On the flip side, I guess that does bring me to a concern, which is if Draymond gets himself into foul trouble, it gets ugly very fast, because there's probably no team he needs to play more like, like Superman, bring back 2016 Draymond, than a team with the Lakers' size and talent up front.
Look, no one's perfect. Even the best baseball players strike out with the bases loaded. The best golfers sometimes three-putt with the tournament on the line. So if you feel like you're coming up short in the bedroom sometimes, it's perfectly okay. But if it's bothering you, there are options. Go to Roman.com/lightyears now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. If medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with 2-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a doctor and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/lightyears and get $15 off your first month. Look, there's a straightforward way to take care of your ED. GetRoman.com/lightyears. Get started now to save $15 off your first month of treatment.
That brings me to my second question. Perfect lead-in. How long, you kind of mentioned this, but how long do you think the Lakers will stay big with Drummond and maybe Marc Gasol in there? And yeah, I guess how much are they going to go to kind of the trump card, which is Anthony Davis at the five?
I think it'll depend on how those first 6 minutes of each half end up working out, because for the potential problems on our end of Drummond having to defend Steph and chase him, and Steph's one of those guys where, like, as soon as he relocates, he's going to lose Drummond, right? Drummond, we want to give him one job: pressure the ball. We'll rotate on the weak side, pressure the ball, rotate back to this guy. You're done.
Simplify the role.
Simple. Right. If you give him any more than that on the perimeter against Steph, you're going to be in trouble. So, but on the other end, the whole concept of this Lakers team and this roster with Drummond in particular is just bigger, faster, stronger. You know, even as great as Draymond is, he's going to lose some battles to Anthony Davis, where Anthony Davis just goes over the top of him, right? Exactly. Draymond doesn't have the access to that plane, for as wonderful as he is at everything else. And Drummond helps compound that. He's been great out of the dunker spot in getting offensive rebounds. He's getting averaging like 5 offensive rebounds a game alongside LeBron in just a little over 20 minutes. The Lakers have gone a lot more to the LeBron and Drummond ball screen combination in the little time that we've had than LeBron and AD. And so depending on how much havoc Drummond is wreaking versus how exploitable he is on the other end, I think that's going to be the equation on that end. But ultimately, I do think this is an 80 at the five game. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, AD, anytime I think of AD and Draymond, I think of one of my favorite Draymond Green quotes. After they won the 2015 championship, you know, Kyrie Irving had a quote, which was like, if I was healthy, the Cavs would have won, whatever. Draymond kind of rolled his eyes and said, if I was 6'11", I'd be Anthony Davis, but I'm not. So it always made me laugh. Yeah.
Hey man, that applies to a lot of us, you know, like it must be nice. So my question for you is also along those lines is when we had a win against you guys up in I always want to say Oakland. That's going to take years for me to not say that. But we had a win up there where we had like 14 dunks.
Right.
And how do you combat? I know you're undersized and you've learned how to play that way. How do you combat the Lakers' size advantage?
So, I mean, I really think it's going to come down to turnovers, because if the Lakers get into their half court offense and are able to crash the offensive glass, like, I just don't know how much you can do. Draymond is going to box out his man to the best of his ability. Like you said, Anthony Davis has 5 to 6 inches on him. He'll go over the top as much as he can, right? Drummond, for, you know, all his, let's just say, limitations guarding in space, like most traditional fives, he is good at crashing the offensive glass. So the Warriors are going to probably, you know, send a second man to double when they can, maybe anytime you throw it into the post, try to create havoc on the weak side, anything in those capacities, because they want to make this a transition game. The one thing that James Wiseman's injury and Kelly, it's let the Warriors lock into an identity. We are a small ball team who causes turnovers and spaces you out. They know who they are. You know, there's a ceiling to what they can do with it given the talent, but they have a very clear idea of what they want to do.
That's so interesting that you said that they want to make it a transition game, because that's what the Lakers want to do too. Our half court offense by far is the weakest part of our team.
Sure.
And if we're posting up, that's a win for you guys. If we're dribble penetrating, that's probably a win for us. That's how we got most of our points. So it's interesting whenever you see a matchup between two teams that want to play the same style of play. If you want to run, we're going to be more than happy with that, because that means we're not going up against a set defense. We've got our bigger, stronger, faster athletes building lanes and rim running. And
I was going to say, I do think both teams think highly of their transition defense. One thing that's been kind of a staple of the Lakers since you guys got AD is, like, you guys get back, you have the length and you have the discipline to, like, teams don't get in transition against the Lakers that easy when the Lakers are locked in. And the Warriors over the last month, since they've gone primarily Draymond at the five, a lot more Juan Toscano-Anderson, who's a very intelligent defender and kind of fits the identity of what they want to do.
Really like him, yeah.
Yeah, Andrew Wiggins probably, you know, has exceeded the best case of what I thought he could be for the Warriors. If nothing else, the Warriors will get back in transition and will be in the right spots that way. Where they have had issues has been that second or third rotation in the half court. And that's more of some of the guys they're playing, a Michael Mulder, even an Andrew Wiggins, a Kent Bazemore, you know, they're going to be overly aggressive. Overly aggression leads to kind of playing for the steal a little more here or there. And sometimes they don't make the best rotation, the second or third pass.
In terms of getting back in transition defense, the one thing that we really like to do against teams that are undersized is AD or Drummond, but especially AD, is going to make that rim run. And you may be back, but it might be Draymond or it might be Juan Toscano-Anderson. We're going to throw that ball up and see who's going to catch it. And LeBron is the best in the league at making that pass.
Sure.
So even if you're back, there's going to have to be a couple of guys back to break up that pass, or else that's Rob Gronkowski against a 5'10 cornerback on that type of play.
As I'm thinking about it, I do think the other thing the Warriors are going to try to do is probably guard LeBron one-on-one. They're not going to send a second man in because of his passing, and because I don't think they have the, I mean, I don't know how many teams really have the ability, if you send two bodies at LeBron and he throws it up to AD, like, to make a rotation to do anything there. So I think they're going to, I think you're going to see Wiggins and some want Toscano-Anderson on him, maybe pressure him, see if they can turn him into a jump shooter. Everyone tries to turn LeBron into a jump shooter. Generally doesn't work. So I would anticipate that also being part of the Warriors strategy here. To my last question. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, you know, please do. Sorry, I was trying to sneak in a bonus question. I was wondering how much you guys are switching these days and how much you expect to switch against the Lakers.
In general, they're switching more. They're just switching better. They're switching the same amount they usually do. It's just different when you have defenders who are better than like a rookie and some of the players they're playing earlier. Switching is always an identity of this team. They also don't really have a ton of size to funnel you to. So it's not like
that makes sense.
Yeah, it's not like they're going to do that. And all right, so to my last question here, outside of Steph going nuclear, what scares you or at least causes most trepidation for you about this Golden State team?
So that leads into my last question for you as well, right? It's the turnovers, number one. I think that if we take care of the ball, we should be in good shape. Andrew Wiggins is the type of player that gives us problems. Big wings who can go over the top and be aggressive around the basket. His ability to crash from weak side, that's something that we can be vulnerable to. We've got such big, fast, strong guys. Those guys don't tend to box out. You're talking about Draymond. Oh, he's going to do that to the best of his ability.
He doesn't have a choice. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly my point, right? Is Anthony Davis, Andre Drummond, they can stand there and jump and get a rebound. That could also make us weak to somebody diving from the weak side. And that's something I like from Wiggins. And just, Wiggins' ability to attack the basket, go over the top. I suspect if we've got AD at the five, our money lineup, if this is a close game down the stretch, is probably going to be Schroeder, KCP, Caruso, LeBron, and AD. And when we've gone to those lineups, Tobias Harris, for example, hit a game winner over Alex Caruso, who's a great defender, but similar to Draymond against AD.
4 or 5 inches, yeah.
Right. If you can go over the top of a player, there's only so much that they can do. And so Wiggins is the guy that gives me the most trepidation in this matchup.
I was actually going to throw into that. In many ways, the build of the two teams is similar. The Lakers and the Grizzlies, the Lakers just have far more talent, like AD, a lot better than Jaren Jackson, Andre Drummond, a bigger version, but similar to Jonas Valanciunas. And to that point, Wiggins did end up with 10 rebounds and he did end up crashing the glass pretty aggressively from the weak side. Rebounding was a huge focus because I think the Warriors finished the season 29th in the league on the glass. It's been a weakness all year. And Memphis, probably their biggest strength is offensive rebounding. They're not a good shooting team. They're not a particularly creative offense, but they do get a lot of points off of putback. So Wiggins being able to help out on the glass was a huge part of the Warriors being able to stay in that game until Steph, got going and kind of put it away. Wiggins a little funny because he will have games like that. And then he'll have, one of his patented, just a bunch of fade away mid-range shots and one assist and two rebounds. And you're just like, oh, that type of thing.
Yeah.
But with that said, it feels like he's risen to the moment. It feels like being on a team with kind of a better culture than what he had in Minnesota and leadership where he doesn't have to be the face, he kind of plays off of Steph and Draymond who are undoubtedly the faces and the leaders of the team has really allowed him to lock in and kind of excel in this role and be just a quality two-way wing.
Yeah. He's someone that we were going to really need to pay attention to, or else he's going to get some free points for you guys.
Right. You have any more? You have one more question?
Oh, gosh, that was my one more question. Let's see. We did the switching, Wiggins, the size discrepancy. I guess I'll throw the same question back at you. Aside from the obvious size difference and talent differential, what about this Lakers team worries you?
The fact that LeBron knows every action the Warriors want to run. And, it was either the second or the third Warriors Lakers game. I think it was the third one, to be honest. That game was over in the first quarter and LeBron had maybe three pick sixes in the first 6 minutes, something along those lines of like, I've played Steph and Draymond maybe 80 times in the last 5 years. I know everything you're doing. I know what Draymond's thinking when he's ducking in, waiting for Steph. So you know, appropriate fear of LeBron is generally always everyone's concern when you go against a LeBron James team. But because there's so much history, the history between them, between LeBron and Steph and Draymond makes it fun. It's mm-hmm. also like, is this going to be one of those games where LeBron reads everything they're doing and it's over before it, sure. ends, before it starts?
For sure. Yeah, you're going to have to, because of those size and speed discrepancies, you're going to have to fool us. We're going to have to make unforced errors and mm-hmm. you're going to have to force us into mistakes. And if LeBron knows what's coming, and because you guys are more similar to sure. what you were, obviously, than
yeah.
the last time you faced LeBron. It's a different team, this Lakers team and that right. Cavs team. So, yeah, that is an advantage. That's interesting.
I wonder if they're going to go. There's going to be a lot more like Steph decoy action early. The problem is like I don't see any way in which the Warriors can compete with the Lakers where Steph and Curry doesn't get at least 25 shots up. And
right.
you know, like the using Steph as a decoy and then having him come on late works a lot better when you have better offensive talent around him.
Right. Exactly. If it ends up in a player's hands, who's not able to create. Sure. You know,
and that was really the issue in the first half of the season. It was a lot of like, possession devolves to Kelly Oubre having to make a decision at the top of the key. And right. Kelly Oubre only makes one decision, that's shoot the ball.
Right.
So
right.
in some ways, this Warrior team's offense can sometimes turn into dribble handoff and pass to the side as Steph runs in a circle until he gets open. And
sure.
on some level,
sure.
that's as, you know, as effective.
It's
as
fun to watch. It's great to watch.
All right, Pete, I really appreciate you. This has been fun. Great. This will be a fun game tonight. And yeah, hopefully we can do this soon.
Awesome. Thanks for having me on, Tim.
Everyone is talking about magnesium. It's all you hear about. But why? What do we know about magnesium? Well, magnesium is the number one mineral that 75% of Americans are deficient in. If you are a woman over 35, magnesium will help you rediscover balance, energy, and vitality. Magnesium supports more than 300 enzymatic reactions in your body, including those involved in hormonal balance. From functional medicine doctors to mental well-being and female hormone experts, we all know that magnesium is the one mineral to improve all aspects of well-being and health. But which one? Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, the trusted choice recommended by leading experts, with 7 best-absorbed forms of magnesium to ensure your body receives the support it needs for overall well-being. Go to bioptimizers.com/balance today and use code BALANCE10 for 10% off. Support your journey to wellness at bioptimizers.com/balance. Magnesium Breakthrough from Bioptimizers, your foundation to optimal health and vitality.